Here with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan back into the studio, as is customary, the second Tuesday following Fairhope City Council meetings, the second Monday night. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Lori.
Thanks for being here. I missed you. I was on vacation, so glad to see you again.
And
I
know you're back.
Thank you. There's always busy things going on with you, including the Fairhope City Council meeting last night, which,
right.
You know, we had Jack Burrell to cover a lot of it yesterday, but we can find out if things were approved and whatnot.
Sure.
Numbers 8 and 9, he talked about y'all are annexing streets that belong to the county but is surrounded by city property.
Correct.
Okay.
The homes on the roads typically are in the city,
right?
But the roadway itself is not in the city. And so we are just...
That's government red tape for you, isn't it?
And it's housekeeping to accept those. They were, of course, ordinances to accept that property, so they lay over for a couple weeks. And then at the next meeting, we'll do final adoption on those.
That's right. But it wasn't... Because my first thought was, I thought an individual had to request annexation, but this is different from county to city. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. And there were some changes to the Parking Authority Committee.
Right.
Tell us about that committee and... What's it going to be doing? Because probably one of the number one complaints is parking.
Parking, correct. So the Parking Authority has jurisdiction over our parking areas in the downtown area. So they worked with organizations, for instance, like Single Tax. Where they're going to be working on the alleyway project just to know what's going to be happening with the parking situation there. There are some signage things with parking that are going on that the Parking Authority will have guidance over. And the Parking Authority for years, probably for 25 years, has been comprised of members from the downtown area, because everything they have jurisdiction over is usually the parking areas in the CBD. So yes, last night on the council agenda, the council just went in and kind of modified some of the rules. It said that you had to be a city resident, but for years there have been people on there who have businesses in downtown who weren't necessarily city residents.
Mm-hmm.
So we just wanted to, you know, clean that up, do some housekeeping to make sure that we are following our own rules that we set forth. So we just changed that to read that you could be a city resident, you could own and operate a business in the central business district, or be the CEO, president, or an employee of an educational institution that is adjacent to the CBD.
Ah, well, that makes sense. Hearing the word jurisdiction brings up a good question. We have the Fairhope Parking Authority.
Right.
We have the Fairhope Airport Authority. Then we have our committees.
Right.
So what's the difference between the committee and the authority? Obviously, one has authority, but why?
Right. Some of their rules are set forth by the Code of Alabama, by the state of Alabama. They're not just necessarily rules that the city sets. So the Parking Authority and the Airport Authority tend to operate independently of the city somewhat.
Right. The Fairhope, yes.
Yes.
But they have authority to make decisions
that
other committees, even planning and zoning, does not have.
Right,
they,
and planning
they make
and zoning
recommendations.
Right, and planning and zoning has their own set of rules also.
Right,
but again, yes, the other ones are more in an advisory capacity.
Uh huh. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we'll see what happens there. So speaking of the alley, there's like an alley right across the street from the radio station, in between the businesses such as Fairhope Hardware and Bone and Barrel, and then the hotel and the little whiskey. There's an alley, and there's going to be a transportation hub there. This is a joint project, right, with the city and county.
It is actually an MPO project. It's the MPO.
Okay, that's right.
It's
the
MPO
Metropolitan Planning
and
Organization.
The city. So,
okay.
And it is being funded with federal highway funds.
Okay.
That's why it had one bidder. We had to rebid it. So it's back out for bid now. And those bids open on August 31st. So we're hoping that we can move that along pretty quickly.
Okay, very good. And that includes a transit hub for the Bratz buses.
It does.
Well as a shuttle for downtown to take people to park. To go somewhere after parking in the parking garage.
Right. The city has already purchased the shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
The company that is producing the shuttle right now, their plant is shut down, so that's delaying that somewhat because it's an ADA accessible golf cart. It's not just a regular golf cart, so there has to be lifts and stuff put on it. So we're having a little bit of trouble getting that in, but it is already on order. The city council has already approved that, and it will be part of the transit hub. But there'll be a restroom facility, also mm-hmm. an area where people can sit and wait on a Bratz bus. And then also you'll see some of the changes with the pavers throughout the alleyway, just some brickwork and some different things, some drainage improvements to help that area look, you know, more aesthetically pleasing and encouraging people to park there.
I was about to say, yeah. That's the purpose is to make it pretty. Correct. And to make it feel safe and inviting, make folks correct. Realize that's an area to
park. And there'll
park.
Be some wayfinding as well. So mm-hmm. We really need some better signage there at the parking deck. So we'll have that as well.
Okay. Speaking of public input, you've got a survey right now concerning ADA mm-hmm. compliance.
Right. It's an ADA transition plan.
Tell us about that.
So this is something that we have to do every so often just to it helps us identify areas where we can do improvement. You know, with ADA accessibility, a lot of times we get comments and people will comment on areas that need improvement. But anybody who wants to have input on the ADA, you know, compliance here in Fairhope or make suggestions, they can go and look for that survey. It's actually, there's a link, I believe,
yes, I see
right
it.
There at the top of the page.
Very top yes. corner, it says 2021 transition plan. Correct. I was looking for this correct. The other day, yep. so thank you.
It's right there.
And I was expecting it to be like a color choice. Do you like this? Do you like this? And it's a good old-fashioned piece of paper you got to fill
it
out.
It is.
Okay, very good.
So no, and anybody, again, we encourage you to go on and do that survey. That's the only way we can make things better is by getting citizen input. I always tell people when they'll message me or text me and say, I hate to bother you with this, I said, you know, the more eyes we have on things, the better.
Okay.
So please don't ever hesitate to let us know if you see something that needs to be taken care of, and this is just yet another way that we can make sure we're taking care of business the way we should be.
Oh, this is even more than I saw the first time. This has the whole plan.
It does.
And then the form.
Right.
Okay, so you can learn all about it. All right. Very good. You can find that at fairhopeal.gov, by the way. fairhopeal.gov. Yesterday, Jack Burrell and I talked about resolution number 11, where Walmart is going to sell or give 12 acres to the city. And then he reminded me this was an old plan that's just getting new life.
Right. It's been a couple years, I think, in the works. And they originally were donating this land, obviously, to build a police precinct there. And that's not something we can do overnight. So there was some negotiating back and forth on the contract. I think they had a change in lawyers. You know, usually when Walmart does a contract for out parcels on their property, they will give those folks 30 days to build or to start construction. Obviously,
whoa, yeah.
we can't do that. So there was some negotiating back and forth, and that's kind of what took so long. But we finally got to the finish line, and we're able to get this approved. So really excited about that. And, you know, 3 to 5 years down the road, we do hope to have a police precinct in that area.
Now, I asked Jack the same question, but I like to get different perspectives mm-hmm. because we just had legislative act, in fact, it was on TV again last night, which would freeze, if not eliminate, the 3-mile police jurisdiction outside of the city limits eventually. That property is just right on the edge. Is that correct? Yesterday, I told him I thought it was not in city limits, but he corrected me.
Correct. You know, Walmart is in city limits. You have all those subdivisions around there, Gayfer Estates, okay. Fairhope Falls, mm-hmm. Fairhope Falls. That's not Fairhope Falls. It's
River Mill, one of them.
North Station. Mm-hmm. You have a few of those subdivisions around there are part of the city limits. So there's plenty, and there's more slated to go in that area, more subdivisions slated to go in. So I think it'll be a nice fit for our police precinct, especially as all the growth starts happening east.
Right.
Right.
With that growth in mind, do you think, as mayor, during your term, would you recommend changing that extra territorial jurisdiction from the 3 miles to smaller?
I do think that there will be some discussion to do that. I think we're, you know, right now just trying to navigate the SB 107 or Act 297. I do think there's some discussion about possibly pulling back. The boundary lines that we currently have for the police jurisdiction have been 3 miles, but there are areas where it's not 3 miles. It's kind of gerrymandered. So I think what all of us would like to see is that we square up our city limits and then fill in the gaps. So I think certainly 1.5 miles or even 2 miles is probably a little bit more manageable to be able to say, you know, how big do we want Fairhope to be? And then look at a really great annexation plans to get all those people that are in the pockets in between to fill it in.
Senator Chris Elliott, who sponsored this bill, said he did it because it was like taxation without representation. So you're actually, there are some ordinances and things that this people in that jurisdiction will not have to pay for, and services they won't receive anymore.
That's correct.
Can you?
Well, it's not so much about services. It's not really about services they won't receive. We've not put any of that in place. Currently, there are things that, as a city resident, you get your water rates cheaper. You get a special rate at the rec center. There are some things like that that you get as a perk for being in the city. A sticker to the beach. Those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's going to force us to look at those people who live outside the city limits, who do use our services, and you might see a difference in cost for some of that. Say, participating in our recreation programs, there might be a rate for city limits versus mm-hmm. non-city limits. And again, I think, you know, people start talking about taxation without representation, which is what Senator Elliott keeps pushing. But, you know, we've never been one to actively go out. The city has not been actively to go out and try to get people to annex in. We've just allowed people, if you want to be part of Fairhope, come be part of Fairhope.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to kind of force us to look at that, because if we're not able to, in 2 years, collect revenues outside the city limits.
What are the revenues?
There's permitting. Well, the utilities
you
really.
Get water anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, the utilities don't really factor into this, because you have a water area, you have an electric mm-hmm. territory. It's things like building permits. Some of those kind of
connection
things.
Connection fees and things with neighborhoods, maybe.
Yeah, you're gonna get the utilities regardless, because utilities are not included as part of this.
Right.
So it's just the things like building permits, I mean, where you enforce your police jurisdiction and where you enforce your subdivision regulations with your planning department.
Okay, very good.
You also, in your police jurisdiction and permitting jurisdiction, you also collect sales tax in those areas. So that's another point of revenue for the city that, you know, if we lost that, you know, you would lose that revenue that extends out mm-hmm. past your city limits as well. Because you can collect half of the sales tax percent.
With this legislation, you can still collect that sales tax?
Right
you
now.
You will not, but within that 3 years,
right
is that
now.
A gradual phasing out?
2 years.
Okay.
Unless we can come to an agreement with the county to allow us to continue to enforce in those areas.
Unless you become an agreement with the county, so mm-hmm. you, as in the sheriff's department, on how to manage?
Not the sheriff's department, with the county commission.
Okay. Wow, this is complicated.
It is very complicated. And again, I think, you know, Senator Elliott, while he thought he was doing a great job with this bill, there are some unintended consequences that all of us are finding. So we, as a, you know, as a city, have been working with our neighboring cities, Silver Hill and Daphne, to just, you know, make sure we all know what our boundaries are, and everybody's looking to the county to come to those agreements and make sure we can continue to operate like we need to.
Wow. Okay. And we'll move on to, I see where there was a resolution to extend the vaccine incentive program to the volunteer firefighters and the library employees as well. Did that pass?
It did. It passed.
What type of a participation rate are you seeing overall, do you think?
You know, I've had that question a couple times, and to be honest, I'm not going out and polling anybody. We are allowing the employees to provide their vaccination card to their supervisor, and then their supervisor has to provide a list to HR by the 10th of September. So right now, I have no way of knowing how many people are getting the vaccine. We did, as the city council voted on three different dates, because yesterday the Pfizer vaccine was approved by the FDA. So I'm hoping that will prompt some folks to go out and get the vaccine. That's one reason why we decided to push that out, where there's an incentive date in October and in the first week of December, or the second week of December, because as long as you have your shot by November 30th and your both vaccinations are completed, then we will give you that incentive.
I see. Okay. So you won't know until later.
Correct.
What that will mean. Okay. Let's talk. Anything else on the agenda that you want to mention? I see you're requesting for some fundraisers and street closures. I think unless you see something else on the agenda, well, this kind of is, some things to do with the football field.
Mm-hmm.
Is the football field going to be ready? I know it's kind of panic time right now.
It is panic time. I'm out there probably three times a day, and the staff's doing a great job. Today, I was already out there this morning about 7 o'clock, and they're out there cleaning up. The brickwork is not complete yet, but we're hoping to have it complete by tomorrow.
And brickwork for the
ramps on the stadium.
The wheelchair ramps.
It's going to look beautiful. I mean, it's going to look great. That, and they're actually installing the Jumbotron today. So when folks go by there, they'll be able to see the Jumbotron, and they have a group together tomorrow night to learn how to operate it. So, you know, right, I think after, hopefully after tonight or midday tomorrow, most of it will just be cleanup because St. Michael's plays on Thursday and the Pirates play on Friday. So we're looking forward to hosting, you know, St. Michael's and having the Pirates out there in their new stadium.
So is that a new deal for the St. Michael's Catholic School to use the Vallanta field, the
they
football
have
field?
They have used that for the, I guess last year may have been the first year they used it. We try to, you know, if they have a Thursday night, we'll be there Friday night. If we have an away game, some weeks they'll play on Friday night. But, you know, the Archdiocese actually provides the property for us down in Barnwell where the youth football fields are. So, you know, this is a good partnership that we have with them, and I'm happy for them to be able to use the stadium.
I don't think I was aware of that in Barnwell.
They do. That land down there was actually leased to the Barnwell Community Center from the Archdiocese, and then the city now has an agreement just with the Archdiocese for that property. So, you know, again, it's a good partnership. We're glad we're able to accommodate St. Michael's, and not that we'll be able to do that all the time.
Right.
But I'm glad we're able to do it now because I do know that they have plans to build their own stadium.
Wouldn't be on the Barnwell land where we're practicing football, would it?
It's on their campus.
Oh, good, good. That makes
sense. It's on their campus.
Okay, so it's not a revenue generator.
It is not a revenue generator.
It's assisting each other. Very nice.
And a lot of, you know, a lot of our families here in Fairhope, they go to St. Michael's.
Sure.
So glad to be able, again, to serve even more citizens of Fairhope.
Absolutely, because it used to be, and I can remember the stories, you know, from back when kids my age were in high school, Fairhopians driving to Mobile to go to McGill.
That's right.
So it's,
and CYO sports and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So glad that we're able to keep them here on the Eastern Shore.
Mm-hmm. Resolution number 18 is starting to do some work on the Fairhope docks. Tell us about what's happening there. I think there may have been some other work already in order. This is for roof and framing.
Right. This is actually from damage from Sally. So it's damaged from Sally, and that's just replacing that roof there over the docks.
Did we get the contractor in to do the rest of the work, the piers that need it and the electrical and the boat slips that aren't?
It's actually not complete as of yet. They do have that. I think that probably ready for the next agenda. Some of it will be.
Okay.
Some of it's included in completing that the electrical components of that job is actually in the budget for next year. We're also soliciting a grant for that to continue the build out of the docks as well.
Okay. All right. We talked about the football field. Twin Beach Road.
Mm-hmm.
James with the Fairhope Times reported yesterday, contractors now say Twin Beach Road turning lanes at Greeno should be completed by September 10th on the east side. Work on the west side to begin September the 13th and completed by October 22nd. That's the goal.
Have
you gotten an update from them?
We thought that it could even be earlier than the 10th that they'll get that east side open. Obviously, we're working hard to get that done because we know that it's impacting school traffic. So we hoped it would be a little bit earlier. Some of that's going to depend on the weather. So obviously, and we're, you know, that big rainstorm that came up yesterday, I'm sure halted work yesterday. But we're thinking the 10th is absolutely the latest it could be. It could even be before that. That project, and actually, or at least that portion of that project and the Church Street project between Magnolia and Oak will actually wrap up about the same time.
And then that Church Street project is going to be right here in front of us.
It is. It'll actually move to the intersection next,
okay.
And they'll do the improvements at the intersection and then start moving down your way.
So. And it's got to go all the way to Morphy?
To Fells.
To Fells.
To Fells.
So that's going to be a major displacement and inconvenience. So remind us all why we must sacrifice for the greater good.
It is a stormwater and utility infrastructure upgrade. So it's actually going to, that project will tie in the Twin Beach lift station and will just, you know, make us more efficient and make us, you know, just these utility upgrades that we have to do and the infrastructure upgrades with stormwater and everything are really important right now.
This area has been since, what, the 70s probably. And this is a major water artery, if you will.
It is. And the other thing is, you know, as we open up ground, just like you said, this is aging infrastructure. So there have been lines that we found that we didn't even know were there.
Right.
So as we open the ground up, we find other challenges as we move along. That's why part of it, why it runs so slow. I will tell you the other thing is, you know, right now with COVID, I mean, that's the other thing, is a lot of these contractors are facing, you know, staffing shortages just like everybody else is because of COVID, or they've taken a crew out sick or whatever it might be. So it has slowed the process a little bit as well.
How is COVID affecting the city's employees and operations? What type of a capacity do you think y'all are at as far as people being out sick?
Yeah, we, to be honest, we've been averaging about 15 to 17 employees out at a time. Since July.
Out of 300 and, what, 50 or so?
About 320 full-time mm-hmm. employees. The problem that we're having is it's usually concentrated in one department, you know, or in several departments. So when you have those smaller departments that are essential to running the city, that's when you, you know, you have those challenges.
Because it's likely going to be cluster of people that work together,
right? And we've put some things in place, you know, recommending the mask. Obviously, we have the vaccination now, which lessens the symptoms of the virus, hopefully, and does not require hospitalization and, you know, will get people back to work quicker. But it has, you know, impacted some of those smaller departments. I've used sanitation as an example. You know, we have several, if you have several sanitation employees out, then you have to pull from, you know, landscape to work sanitation, and they may not be trained. Then that you put them in mm-hmm. sanitation, then the grass has to get cut. So it's just it's a balancing act for everybody to make sure you're keeping those employees safe and healthy, and make sure they're you know, taking the precautions that they need to while you're able to continue providing these essential services.
And speaking of employee health, you announced recently a medical clinic for employees mm-hmm. and their families.
Yes, the Symbol Clinic.
This sounds very innovative and awesome, and makes everybody want to be a city employee. Yeah. I think now. So it's, how does that work?
It's a great benefit for the employees. I worked for Riviera, you know, prior to running for office, and they were part of the Symbol Clinic network, and it's a great benefit for the employees. It also helps us for some of those employees that need to manage chronic illnesses like diabetes or heart disease. You know, it gives them, you know, readily access to health care. Some of them might put it off going to the doctor or whatever, but when it's right there, it's so convenient, you're able to go and get, you know, maintenance medications. You're able to just go in, like if you've got a sinus infection or something, you can run over there at lunch, get what you need, come back to work. And the same thing for your family. But there's going to be a wellness component too that helps us, you know, manage some of those chronic illnesses, and hopefully, you know, keeps our employees healthier than they are now.
Who's paying for that, or what do you think it will cost?
I do not have the cost on it right now, but it is, we're hoping it's going to be a cost savings, because, and for the employees, when they go in, they won't pay a copay. So that's the encouragement for them to use that. They won't have to pay a copay. A lot of your maintenance medications are free in their 90-day supplies, like cholesterol or thyroid, those kind of things. So they will dispense those kind of medications, not any narcotics or anything, but just, you know, your maintenance drugs.
Right.
But we do hope that it's a cost savings. Again, the city is self-insured, so anything that we can do to promote wellness, to promote, you know, disease management, those kind of things are things that will ultimately save our city money. And again, keep our workforce healthy, mm-hmm. and that's the primary goal.
Okay, so is this something that will have to be budgeted in the future?
It will, okay. Yes, it will.
All right, and maybe it'll help fill some of the positions.
I'm hoping.
To see that incentive, because it, of course, it's City of Fair Oaks not unique in the fact that there are probably more positions open than usual.
There are, and, you know, I don't think this is unique to Fairhope. I think it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, people are having a staffing shortage right now. Again, you just have to be, it's a balancing act, again, to be able to fill those essential positions, make sure that you're providing the services that you need to provide to your citizens, and make sure you're keeping yourself fully staffed.
If you go to fairhopeal.gov, scroll down just a little bit, you'll see a big circle near the bottom right that says employment. Click on that. From a police officer to a golf cart attendant and lifeguard to an equipment operator or gas service line and more, City of Fairhope would be an excellent place to work. Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan, we've covered a lot of ground, and I always feel like I'm forgetting something. Is there anything perhaps on your list that we haven't mentioned that you'd like to? Are we have covered a lot of ground there. Oh, I see construction has begun on the new electrical substation on Morphy Avenue.
It has. They have started that site work last week, actually. They started the site work. So we're hoping that the site work will be almost complete by the end of September, and that our substation contractors will move in and start maybe pouring the pad and doing some different things that they need to get that substation up and running.
Really
excited about
that.
All right.
Thank you so much, Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us usually the second and fourth Tuesday on Community Contact. If you missed part of this interview or want to tell a friend, you can listen to it later, usually posted by lunchtime, the same day of the interview, WABF1480.com.